If you would, let's look here in this passage tonight. I'm going to be preaching on basically the entire chapter, but we're going to read the first four verses, and then we'll get into the message tonight. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he did cover his face. With twain he did cover his feet. With twain he did fly. And he cried unto one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray tonight that for a few moments, Lord, that You would hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that You would give me an unction from on high. Lord, I pray that You would be magnified and glorified and honored tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just help me, Lord. I pray You'd bless the ear of the hearer, Lord, that we might receive Thy word, Lord, that we would leave here tonight better, Lord God, and not bitter. Lord, may we just by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, enter into Your presence for a few moments tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here out of this chapter tonight, I want to get you to think about something with me that in the book of Isaiah, God laid out His plan for the church. Yes. You know, and His plan for the church, I think, is well summed up by the Apostle Paul. When Paul said that His plan for me is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. The purpose of every Christian, and as the church, a body of Christians joined together, is to know God. We were created for the purpose of fellowship with God. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, He walked with him each and every day in His presence to have a personal relationship with them. God's plan for the church is to know Him. And you know what? When we really get to know Him, we won't have a problem serving Him. See, so many times we focus on what our job is instead of what our purpose is. See, our purpose is for Christ. It's Him. And if we get that right, everything else gets good. You know, the truth is, I don't mind giving things to my wife because I love her. I had the opportunity yesterday to cook lunch and supper for my wife, and I actually even attempted to clean up after myself. I'm sure that tomorrow she'll go back over that, and I'll be very aware of some stuff I missed. But the food was good, and I had an opportunity to do that because I love her. Amen. See, when I'm in love with my Lord, everything else is easy to do. I mean, I know you guys feel like I do about cleaning. I believe the car needs working on, honey. You need me to fix that step, I'll get right on that. Anything else but cleaning sounds like a great plan. But when I know that it's special to her, I don't mind getting on it. Well, I may mind it, I just don't say anything. But if we're in love with the Lord, giving's easy. If we're in love with the Lord, going's easy. God wants us to find Him. And so tonight, I want to look in this passage about three places to find the Lord that we might know Him. The first place that we will find the Lord that I read tonight in the verses number 1 through 4 is in a holy place. Look, I don't want to get too much in the flesh and get fired up about this, but I believe there's enough of this nightclub garbage going on with worldly music and everything else that wants to say, hey, won't you come as you are and I want you to casual down God so you can just feel comfortable as a lost person in the house of God. That's not where you find God. Amen. You find Him in a holy place, high and lifted up. Amen. We've got too much of society today. You know, it used to be called seeker sensitive versus savior sensitive. Now it's cultural sensitive versus Christ sensitive. It's the same garbage been going on for 2,000 years. But it's about Jesus, the Son of God, who gave His life for you and for me. You're going to find Him. It's going to be in a holy place. I like what David said. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. See, that's what looks good to God. You say, well, how do you know that? Because David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote it under the inspiration of Scripture. I'm going to go with him.
Yeah,
he might have had one or two things figured out.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We need to find him in a place of holiness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I like to know that God has met with us.
Yes, sir.
I like it when he meets with us in the singing, in the prayer, and the preaching. And when we get the invitation, then we're all crying and weeping because he's still with us. And then he goes home with us. I like those kind of services. But it doesn't mean it ought to be at revival time. It doesn't mean that it's got to be at Bible conference time or Jubilee or whatever else. It don't mean that you got to go somewhere else to get it. It can be every service, every day in your prayer closet. But if we want that presence of God, and I mean genuinely hunger and thirst for that presence of God. If you want to be filled with that presence, it's got to be in a holy place. Because before you get to verse 4 where it said that the house was filled with smoke, verse number 3's got angels crying out, holy, holy, holy.
Yes, amen.
Hey, he was high and lifted up. And when God gets in there, he's going to move some things.
Yeah.
He's in heaven. I'm pretty sure heaven had a pretty good builder. I think God took care of some things. But when they cried about God's holiness, said it moves the door of the post. There's power in the worship and holiness of God.
Oh, yes.
And he intended for us to be in a relationship with him, to know him. And where are we going to know him at? Where are we going to find him at? We're going to find him first in a place of holiness. Secondly, it's going to be a humble place. Not just a holy place, but a humble place.
Yeah.
Look with me in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Yeah. Right.
You know why we get eat up with pride? Number one, we forgot who we are.
Right.
Number two, we forgot who he is.
Yeah.
Because when you see him high and lifted up and you're in that holy place, oh, you're going to get humble or get broke.
Right.
Take your pick. One or the other's happening. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Should be my life verse. Because as a teenager, I got away from God. My parents were getting a divorce. That is not an excuse for sin. It's just what I used. And I got away from the Lord. I got into sin. I didn't have a youth pastor or a church at the time that we were working in that somebody to come after me. And yet that may not even have helped, but I got away from God. And I remember after I promised God that I was going to quit drinking, threw the beer out of the end of the ditch, and the next day I came back and got the beer out of the ditch. By the end of that day, we had run off the road and down an embankment and up a driveway and hit a telephone pole about 13 feet off the ground and just flipped, landed on all three tires we had left. I called my dad and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. Thank you for praying for me all these years. I love you. I know you're right. And he said, Son, don't ever doubt you're saved. And I'm thinking, way I've been acting. Why? He said, because God's beating the fool out of you. Yes, you may be right. My dad was a drill sergeant that got drafted during Vietnam. So anytime you hear me reference my dad, that's why there's no warm and fuzzy feelings involved in this. He forgot he got out when he came to raising us. But the truth is, God will humble you. Now, you can humble yourself. And he said, that's better than sacrifice. He said, better than the best offering you could give, better than the best thing that you could think of to give to him, he said, would be obedience in a contrite spirit, being humble before the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not easy for me. I like to think I'm a pretty decent guy. Now, luckily, I grew up in a family where they let you know how you're not. We speak fluent sarcasm, and a compliment is to put someone else down more than they put you down.
Amen.
That's close to compliments you get in my family. So the Lord's helped me throughout my life with this thing of pride, but the truth is we all fight it.
Yes, sir.
I'm so competitive, it is not funny. I have never let my kids win anything. If they won it, they earned it. I was telling my wife about one of my failures as a parent. Josie and I were riding back from Fresno, California from a meeting. It was 40-something degrees in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We were coming through the mountains, and it started sleeting, freezing rain. We had a contest to see who could hold their arm out the window the longest. Now, Josie's 10. She weighs about 60 pounds. I think the rain must have aerodynamically went around her arm. But after a little while, I finally just said, good night. I'm tired of this. I thought she'd have quit a whole lot, so I underestimated her attitude over there. She's a little redhead. She likes wind as bad as I do, and so I had to pull my arm back in. And it's not that I couldn't have won. I just gave up. I was like, good night. She is stubborn. But I like to win. And I like to win because I believe I can win at everything. When we get to heaven and God's handing out crowns, my goal is to have more crowns than all of you. That's the plan. There's going to be the Apostle Paul, and I'm looking for a close second. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means that's what I'm looking for. But you know what? In America, we're just brought up that competitive, go-get-it nature. If you've ever owned your own business and had to build anything up from the ground up, you've got that sense of accomplishment, and it leads us to pride. I'm proud to be married to such a beautiful woman. But guess what? I can't even claim it. God did it. And the truth is, that's the way it is in all our lives. Any good thing I've got has come from the Lord. We're going to find God. It's going to be in a holy place, but it's also going to be in a humble place. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but the few trials that God has placed me in my life, I've needed His grace. There's been some dark days in my life where it meant a whole lot to me that I could come boldly before the throne of grace, that I may obtain mercy in my time of need. Well, you don't get that by coming proud. See, the truth is, church, that there's this whole idea of Christianity out there that's all about self, and it's all about what makes us feel good. But the truth is, this church service is for the saved people to worship Almighty God. Lost people ought to be invited, but they ought not feel comfortable. If we want that in our services, we want that in our lives, it won't come out of a sense of pride. Too many years has there been people who are right and then angry about being right. Just mean-spirited about it. Let me tell you, there's nothing more dangerous. There's a ditch on both sides of every road. There's nothing more dangerous than taking a gift from God that He's blessed us with, and knowing that we have this word and we know that we're right. Listen, if we're right, we don't have to be mean about it. Amen. Just be humble and love people. Because if you're going to find God, it's going to be in a holy place, a humble place. It's also going to be, in verse number 8, a harvest place. So you want to know why some churches don't get to know God? Because they haven't been to the harvest place. They're holding back a little bit. But in that verse number 8, we know that I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And He said, here am I, send me. Because see, when you've met Him in the holy place, and then now, because you've seen who He is, you know who you are, you got into the humble place, He said, now I can use you for my purpose. That's for me to send you out into a harvest place. Brother Tim Butler was the assistant pastor at Victory Baptist Church, and he called me into his office. I used to come up every Friday. I took off work to go be in the staff meeting and just serve up there because I, when God called me to the ministry, I wanted in. I'd pay for my own self to be in. Brother Tim called me into his office, and he said, Riley, he said, I figured out the Christian life. He said, 40-something years, and I finally figured out the Christian life. Well, obviously, I was 19 years old. I said, okay, you got me. You hooked me. What is it? He said, it's not everything I thought it was. He said, it's read your Bible, pray every day. He said, it's go sowing and give God the honor and glory for everything in your life. He said, everything else works out. He said, if you'll just get with God and you'll take what you got from God and you'll go give it out, he said, that's the Christian life. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a church member, whatever it is. That's the Christian life for all of us. It's his plan. What is the purpose of the church coming together? So that we can go out. Look, this is the huddle. This is the pep rally. We come together, we get fired up. For what purpose? To go run the play. See, the problem is there's plenty of churches, they want to start with the harvest place. Oh yeah, we just need to go out. Listen, I can go out and hand out cotton candy, but nobody's going to get full. It's got to be the holy place, the humble place, and the harvest place. Two questions came to my mind when I read this that I see that God asked, or that Isaiah asked. God said, who will go for us? He asked who? Isaiah said, me. If God calls tonight, let me correct that. God is calling. How many of you be willing to say me? That's the who. But then in verse number 11, he asked another question. Then said I, Lord, how long?
Yeah.
How long? You know, the calling of God is without repentance. And he basically summed it up to Isaiah. He said, hey, till everything has been wiped away in desolation, and I come back and I come pull out my people. Until then, you go and you preach. Now look, Isaiah preached 61 years with not a single convert. Ended up his life in a log being sawn in half. But he did it to the end. Look, it's a harvest place. Verse number 9, after he said, send me, and the Lord said, and he said, go and tell this people. That harvest place, it's a simple task. Go and tell.
Amen.
It doesn't matter about the results. It doesn't matter if they listen. It doesn't matter if they pay attention to a single thing you say. That's not your job. Your job's to sow the seed. Your job's to water the seed. And God gives the increase.
Amen.
But the truth is, God's plan for the church is all these things. It's to worship Him in the holy place. It's to live in a humble place. It's to work in the harvest place. Lord Jesus had one prayer request, Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Listen, we're just laborers. Say, well, I'm not that good of a soul winner. Read John chapter number 1 sometime. Verse number 43 through 45, Philip meets Jesus and is saved. Immediately, he goes and finds Nathanael. No soul winning conference took place there. He didn't get a 12-week discipleship program. No, God changed his life. He met Jesus. He went and found somebody else, told them what he knew. Say, well, what did he know? Not much, because he said, we found the Christ. Nathanael said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? He had the best comeback every Christian soul winner should have. Come and see. Say, I don't know how to be a good soul winner. Fine, bring him to church. Pastor's job. He'll figure it out. Amen. As preachers, we like assists. Those are nice. But the truth is, we're never going to find God and know Him like we should. We're not in the harvest field. And look, you can't go to Argentina because God hadn't called you. I mean, you can come visit us now. That's a good mission trip. Amen. By the way, just to throw this in, that Cordoba, the second largest city in Argentina, is the dove hunting capital of the world.
Yeah.
And they shoot big birds. That's a mission trip right there, Pastor. Amen. I believe the Lord just spoke. But no... You can come visit us, but the truth is God called us to labor there.
Right.
My job is to get to Argentina to plant churches by winning souls, discipling new believers, and we're praying now God's going to call some of those young men to preach.
Right.
And as soon as He does, we're going to start a Bible college and we're going to send them out to go win souls, disciple new believers, and plant churches. And then we're going to go plant more churches.
All right.
And then we're going to train more people.
Amen.
That's what God's called us to do there. But guess what? We're all a failure if I go there and you don't labor here. Hey, if this is where God's called you and this is where God's put you, as kindly as I can say it, let's get to work. Because there's still a lost and dying world. Man, they're hurting. They're hurting. They just need to know somebody cares. You'd be surprised how far you'd get breaking down and crying with some man or some lady you work with whose family is in shambles and tell them that you love them, that Jesus loves them. And that He died on the cross for our sin so that we didn't have to let sin mess up our homes like this. And you could sit down there and cry with them and say there's a better way.
Amen.
And you'd be amazed what God could do. Do you know you want the presence of God when you go soul winning? You got to be humble so that you can meet Him at His throne.
Yeah.
Church, tonight, let's get back to that holy place.
Amen.
Let's get rid of that pride. It creeps in. And I know y'all are better Christians than I am, but I have to try to get over that every day.
Sure.
Usually about every time I get on an interstate to drive, I really have to get into praying. I believe when Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing," he had I-285 in mind. Lord, help me not to kill these people. But the truth is, we want God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go to Him.
Yeah.
Ask Him to meet with us. Every head bowed and every eye closed as Pastor comes, I want to ask you a question. Tonight, have you seen God in His holy place? Or have you tried to bring Him down to your level? Have you tried to dishonor Him with being the big guy upstairs? Or have you seen Him as a holy God? Hey, have you let sin get in your life because you sat on the throne too long that belongs to Him? Have you humbled yourself? Hey, I want to ask you tonight, church, are you in the harvest field? Are you serving Him like He planned? See, Isaiah, he heard, "Who shall go for us and whom shall I send?" Because he was in the throne room. You know, maybe you haven't heard the call of God because you're not in the room. But maybe you have heard the call of God and you've refused it. Hey, don't refuse it. It's a great thing for God to say, "Hey, I want to use you to do something great and mighty for me." That's not a point of pride. God uses the weak things to confound the strong. But if He's called you, surrender. How's your harvest field work going? How's your labor been this week?
Father, we do thank You this evening for blessing us like You have. We appreciate so much the missions family being with us and ask that You'd bless them as they work toward getting to the mission field. God, I pray for our church family. Help us to keep our eyes on You. Help us to press forward in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever be mindful of Your will and do all that we ought to be doing to please You. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.